I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 602. Panda could say no.
But what's the fun of that?
Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi, bro.
How you doing?
I'm good.
That's good.
Feeling good. I'm smiling. Smile, bitch.
And dude.
I got you.
Let me tell you. That song. I'm going to go on a tangent already.
It's kind of what we do.
It is. It really is. We going to start this thing all right. Duval in the motherfucking house. Come on. Do it, baby. Take it, baby. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you niggas. I'm living.
To be smiling for. Smile, so what the fuck you be wildin' for? Come on, I get my grin on. I'm smiling, bitch, cause I always get my win on. I've been on so many different stages. Graced the cover of 100 magazine pages. Made people smile everywhere that I went. I even put it on the first black president. It's evident I'm hot as a crock pot. With a big ass smile like Mr. Hotspot. You got a lot to be smiling for. So what the fuck you be wildin' for? If you're breathing, you achieving. We having fun this evening, believe it.
Up in the air and show a hater you don't even much care. We finna get another bag this year. My ex bitch, you can have that there. Hey, this year bad vibes get cut off. More trips, new chicks with no draws. More drinks, more smoking, more cars. More shows with Duval and Snoop Dogg. Look, I ain't trying to throw no shade, cause I can't sing them in my lane. As long as my rent getting paid, I can care less with a bitch thing, huh? You in the club every night with no job. Eating good off your food stamp card. You made a killing last year off fraud. If you know you ain't going to work tomorrow. I'm living my best life.
Smile, bitch.
To be smiling for. So what the fuck you be wildin' for? If you're breathing, you achieving. We having fun this evening, believe it.
So just really quickly, that song I feel like is the best song for when you about to walk away from just whatever is a bad situation for you, whether it's a relationship or like a friendship or a job or whatever. It's just the best, like, mic drop, I'm out song. So I feel like moving forward, like, as I quit jobs and things like that and move to new jobs or, like, break away from relationships, I'm just going to either share that song on my social or just, like, the artwork of it. Because it speaks to my soul on a level of pettiness that right now I'm really feeling strongly about.
You know, I hate to say this because obviously, like, I like to be an advocate for positivity and stuff, but sometimes Petty Peggy, who sits in the back of my head, who says all the things I want to say, but because of my two-ness, I keep it in check because, you know, I ain't trying to, you know, catch no heat. I'm not trying to, like, be public enemy number one. Like, I'm just trying to get through my day to get my check to go home to my dogs and my cat. But every once in a while, she likes to creep out and, like, she says the things that, like, I feel but I don't say. And I think that that's just kind of, I think it's natural. So I think to completely repress it, obviously, for too long.
It's not good. You shouldn't repress any part of yourself. No. You got to let your pettiness out every once in a while, just like you got to let your pretty out, just like you got to let your positivity out, just like you got to let, you know, your ego out. You're a little bit of narcissism. Everyone, never hurt nobody. While.
Nope, absolutely. It's just and like, I mean, and I'm always the first one to be like, life. I'm about to say something really vapid right now. I'm about to say something very shallow right now, but I'm putting it out there because if I don't
say
it now,
I do appreciate your disclaimers, by the way.
It will manifest itself in worse ways than me just giving it light.
Also, just to make sure that we bring everybody along with us in this little tangent, if you don't know the song that we're talking about Smile by Lil Duval featuring Snoop Doggy Dogg. If you've heard it on the radio, one, you've heard the clean version.
Yep, because
You won't get the actual Petty because it's all not in the clean version on the radio. But it's that song that mixes Curious by Midnight Star. Most of you probably know it as the Living My Best Life song.
Living my best life. I'm surprised that we do not have memes of that now. Like, where's the meme wave for that?
Well, unfortunately, the meme wave for that couldn't happen because the meme wave for, like, the Kaepernick commercial with Nike happened.
Oh, yeah.
And then the meme wave with Yeah. And then, not to mention just the Trump memes in general. So it unfortunately didn't get its wave.
Oh, or crest because I definitely think it deserves happen. One.
But I mean, we could start it. We have the ability, and I feel
but
like
we'd
we
have
should
to censor it because they say the N-word a lot.
Right. Well, I mean, it could just be living. It could just be smile, living my best life.
Ain't going and back just and like, forth with you people because I'm living my best life.
I would say brothers,
hitters, yeah. Like people,
you know, haters. I mean. You know, you just got to fit it in there.
Find a way to make it work.
That's where, you know, I put it in the Clatchit column because it does make my Clatchit come out. Because I do. Like, I throw it on my car and I'm just like, I'm living my best life. And
there have been several times
I've
had that blaring as I leave work, which is really kind of awkward for me personally because the where I do my work.
Because
like,
of where you work. It's actually much more accurate because of where I work.
Right. Yes. Yes. It would work. It works so much better for your place of business.
It does.
Than mine.
It really does. But moving right along, we're going to talk about some games. We're going to talk about some gadgets. We don't have any anime this week, but we will be back soon with anime because there's been a bunch of things that I've been binge watching, both on Netflix, surprisingly, as well as Crunchyroll. So I'll have some things to bring to the table soon. I'm going to turn it over to you because I know you have some stuff to talk about, but I also have some game stuff to talk about. So what's in your world right now?
Well, I mean, I don't have a lot of things in my world. I have one very big time-consuming thing in my world. And, I mean, this is no big surprise that I'm talking about, you know, an RPG. And a very traditional Japanese one at that. But clearly, if you know anything about me, give me characters, give me stats, give me a big world, and I'm all about it. So I have been completely engrossed in Dragon Quest XI. Now, I say this with the knowledge that this is the first Dragon Quest game that I have ever played, ever. Because I think growing up, any time I heard it and people would talk about it, I'd be like, oh, you mean you mean Final Fantasy. And then people would be like, oh, she doesn't know anything. And, like, clearly, like, Dragon Quest has its own universe, has its own leg to stand on. And I was watching Kotaku, and I was watching a review of this game, which I had heard about, and I knew it was coming out. I knew it was coming over here, because it's been over in Japan since July of last year. So, like, Japan just got to have this awesomeness before it got here to America. And we finally got it, and now we're on the Dragon Quest hype train, apparently. And the review left me instantly downloading it, which I think I talked about last week, how I literally was like, we should make a choice, but I'd already kind of made the choice for us in my house. Yes. But I hadn't played too much of it, so I didn't have too much to say. But I'm really thoroughly impressed with everything that I have played through so far. So for an update on that, I'm about 27 hours in, which this game has a base completion of the story in about 100. So I'm about 1/5 of the way through now. In terms of narrative, I don't even think I've hit the end of Act 1. Like, yet. Like, I'm probably, in my honest opinion, maybe another 6 hours before that. Granted, I mean, since I don't know the whole story, I don't know. I don't feel like something really, really big has happened to signify the end of Act 1. So, there's that. But anyway, let me run through it a little bit, because now I actually have some knowledge on what's happening in the story. So, in the universe that is Dragon Quest XI, in Aldera, I think is the name of the land, there has been countless stories and lore about the Illuminary and the Dark One. Because if any story that has a group of people moving from one place to another for an undetermined amount of time, clearly there had to have been a prophecy of a chosen one and a bad one and their continued battle for this land. We see it in Zelda, we saw it in... Granted, we actually didn't really see it in Octopath Traveler, which I actually really kind of appreciated, that we just had 8 people who had shit to do. And it wasn't like, hey, I'm a special individual with a you know, prophecy and a destiny. But anyway, so in Dragon Quest XI, you play as the no-named protagonist. You can name them whatever you want. It is a dude.
Okay.
So I named mine Malcolm because I happen to like that name. And Malcolm is, as you see in the cutscenes, that he is the prince of this kingdom called Dundrasil. And he's a baby. And when he's born, he has this weird mark on his hand that kind of looks like a shield, sort of. I don't know. And like, all of Dundrasil's like, oh yay, the new prince has been born, this is gonna be great, prosperous, and we're all happy. And another king was like, is he fucking alive? And he's like, yeah. And it's like, we gotta kill him, because now that he's in the world, the Dark One, if he's not here now, will be reborn, and then calamity will ensue. So he convinces all these other, like, highfalutin fizzywigs to be like, hey, let's, like, see if shit will happen, and if they, like, if Dundrasil falls, like, we could start saying shit to make people believe that the Luminary is bad, because he is the sign of the end times, essentially. And granted, they didn't really have to do too much, because once the Luminary was born, like, all these dark shadows started showing up, because, like, they're attracted to the light. Mind you, he's a baby, like, he can't do nothing right now besides, like, poop his diaper and, like, cry. But, like, all these he's just been born. Like, mom is holding him, like, I'm so happy you're alive. And then, like, shadow demons show up. And your mom, like, is, like, running through, like, a storm with another rando daughter. I thought it was a daughter, but isn't. You find out later it's not. But she is running away from this darkspawn and these evil demons. And she passes the baby to this little girl. And she, like, blocks them and, like, sacrifices herself, like, completely like Harry Potter, like, love magic. Ah. And she dies protecting these two kids. And then you see you in your basket floating down a river. And the little girl's like, fuck. And then, like, you see, like, a cutscene where it looks like she kind of gets killed, but you don't know what her fate is. So clearly you're going to find her later in the game. And and you go through the storm on this river, and this old man finds you in a basket, and he's like, "You're my baby now." And then you live in this, like, kingdom that isn't this, like, this little town that's not even half a day's travel from the main kingdom. So, like, this king who was like, "We should orchestrate something to, like, get Durnasil to fall," like, you know, they could have just checked everywhere to see if, like, a random baby carcass showed up. I mean, like, this is, like, olden times where, like, people just dropped dead, like, every day. Like, you didn't send any scouts out to be like, "Hey, have you seen any random, like, big-headed babies with, like, a weird symbol on their hand? Like, oh, you did? Can I see the body? Is it still alive?" Like, no. Nothing. Just assumes that, like, plan went off without a... Like, no bad guy ever checks. You know? Like, "Hey, Hercules? Hey, I'm gonna send some demons to, like, kill Hercules." And then those two dumbbells fuck it up. But he doesn't think to, like, have somebody checking. Like, no one confirms shit. And that's why we have stories. But anyway... Some time passes, and you, the chosen one, live in this little, you know, provincial town with this old man who's your grandfather. He convinces his daughter to raise you, and, like, you live a generally happy life in this village. You have a best friend. She's a girl. She's madly in love with you. She thinks you guys are going to get married. I actually kind of think if you spoke, your character would also kind of imply that there is some type of romantic interest there, but they never really talk about it, you know, so... it is the day of their, "We're going to become adults, and you have to travel up to this, like, hill to, like, look at the countryside, because that makes you an adult, apparently, in this town." I don't know. But they go up there to do it, and, like, they get attacked by this giant-ass bird, and your powers start to kick in, and you, like, electrify the bird to save your kind of pseudo-proto-girlfriend or whatever. And your grandfather's dead at this point, but he left a letter for you, and your adopted mom's like, "All right, so you're this thing called the Luminary. My dad talked about it all the time. Here's this weird amulet that you were like..." And she, like, she chokes up because she doesn't tell you exactly. She's about to tell you everything, but she realizes she shouldn't. So she's just like, "You should have this necklace. Your grandfather wanted it. Also, here's this letter that he wrote. He says you should go to, like, the capital and go talk to the king, because with you now of age, it's now time for you to go fight the Dark One. That's all I know about it. I love you. Here's some food." Whatever. So your quest begins for you to get some knowledge as to what the fuck the Luminary is, what your role is, and, like, your character's very naive from the start, because, one, you don't talk. Or rather, you as the player never hear your character talk, but all the characters around you engage with you as if you're talking. Which throws me off, because I'm like, why not just character voice act him? Like, why? I get that he's supposed to be a vessel for me, but the fact that all of my party members are like, "That's a really good idea, Malcolm." And I'm like, I didn't say anything. What? I'm like, I did not say we should go up to that mountaintop. I'm like, I get that that's the plot, like, plot device, and this is how we're going to push the narrative. But I'm like, why not just be like, "Guys, we should go up to that mountain." He's right, guys. We should go up to that. Like, they could do it. I don't know why,
but
they don't.
Shouldn't we go up to the mountain?
You know, like, right? And I mean, it's actually really funny, because there are certain aspects in this game where all of a sudden you meet a new character who may or may not end up in your party. Most times if they have a name, they're going to end up in your party. And when you meet them, like, you end up doing some type of quest with them. They're like, "Hey, do you want to come with me up this mountain for me to go find my sister?" And it gives you the option to say yes or no. Now, granted, me, because I like to say yes to everything, I just keep saying yes. But I'm like, I don't know what happens when you say no. Like, can you choose not to, like, do quests with these members who should be in your party? Can you, like, completely leave them out of the loop? Like, I don't know. So your character ends up getting to the main capital and shows up and is like, "Hey, I'm the Luminary. My granddad gave me this letter. I need to talk to the king." And the king's like, "Praise be the Luminary. Come to the throne room. I got shit to tell you." And you show up and all these people are cheering your name, and it's a little too suspicious for me. Like, at first they were like, "You're not the Luminary." Now all of a sudden all the guards are like, "Hey, Luminary, so glad to see you. Oh, I could talk to you, Luminary, but I'm really reading this book right now. Can we talk later?" And I'm like, "You guys don't believe I'm the Luminary?" I'm like, you about to, like, coup me. I'm like, a coup's coming. You have rebellion. Like, I could see it a mile away. So I don't know how my character didn't get the heebie-jeebies, because I certainly had it. As it turns out, like I said, the king is... King is shady, and he's all like, with you in the world, the Dark One's probably fucking shit up. I'm just gonna imprison you in this dungeon, and like, I'm not gonna kill you, you're just gonna die down there. Which, once again, why are you leaving such a powerful entity? Granted, you don't know how to use your powers yet, so it's really not, you know, it's arbitrary at this point. But like, why not just kill him? Like, you didn't want him alive, you found out he's alive, you could just kill him. Like, why aren't you killing him? Why are you killing me? Also,
why isn't he dead?
Right? Like, why is he like, how are you alive for so many years of this? Like, how did I not know? How did I not go to that one random town, like, right down the street from my kingdom and be like, hey, like, it's bullshit. It's complete bullshit. But anyway, while you're down in the dungeon, you meet your first party member. His name's Eric with a K, so you know he's edgy. Kind of sounds like he's from, like, Jersey. He's a thief. Granted, mine's not spec'd to steal anything yet, so I don't think I'm playing him right. But he's kind of cool. He's kind of down to do whatever you need to do, because, like, a fortune teller told him he'd meet the luminary, and he didn't believe her, and now you're like, I'm the luminary, and he's like, shit. So now he's just a ride or die for you, like, and he's like, he busts you out of jail, and he's like, so I have to go get some shit from the shady part of town, and then we can start this adventure. It would give us some money. Come help me out. And it's this rando red orb. And he's like, yeah. He's like, there's something about this orb that just draws me in, you know? And like, whatever. And you actually find out it's one of the many MacGuffins that you need to do the thing you need to do. Which I haven't even told you what that is yet. So let me tell you about that, because that's kind of the big, big focal point of this whole story. So there's a floating tree in the sky. Like, just giant floating tree in the sky called Yggdrasil. You know, the Tree of Life, which if you ever listen to me talk about Oh My Goddess, we've talked about Yggdrasil, Norse mythology, blah, 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 Tree of Life. And apparently in this universe, every human being, every living entity in the world has a leaf on the Tree of Yggdrasil. And when your leaf falls off the tree, like, you die and stuff. Unless you're killed by monsters, but that's a totally different subplot that they just opened up for me, so I'm not even going to get into that. But anyway, so you are not the only chosen one that has ever happened. Over the course of many, many years, there's always been a luminary and there's always been a dark one. So it's one of those circular things that always happens. And it is the luminary's job to get to Yggdrasil to then get the magic MacGuffin that would allow him to fight the Dark One and hopefully win. So in this case, it's kind of like Zelda. You need to get the Master Sword so you can fight Ganon. Granted, if you played Breath of the Wild, you don't necessarily need the Master Sword to fight Ganon. You could fight him with a stick, but why?
I mean, but why do that to yourself? I mean,
why? Like, why not give yourself the best of the best? You know, so that's the whole point. Is you're trying to get to Yggdrasil. You're trying to figure out all the things you need as the luminary to fight the Dark One. You're also trying to figure out where the Dark One is, what the Dark One's been doing this whole time. Also trying to figure out why this king hates you so much. Like, you're just trying to figure... There's a lot of shit you're trying to figure out. And you're also trying to figure yourself out. So, like, yay, discovery and journey! And you're also, like, hanging with your new buds. Because, like, it seems like every big city that I've gone to so far, I have then found a new party member. And it's like, you guys all conveniently were, like, in the surrounding areas. Like, this was, like, meant to be in some shit. But, like, I don't know you. I don't know if I can trust you. I mean, yeah, these hot twins say they're gonna protect me. But, like, are they really gonna protect me? They will. But that's not the point. Like, I'm very cautious. But the luminary is just like, I love everyone. Because I think he's, like, a representation of Jesus. I don't know. But it's cute. The animation style is really nice. And I do like the story. Some of the things that I don't like, however, and there are a couple, is the music is so dang repetitive. And don't get me wrong, like, this is a girl who played, you know, several hundred hours of Octopath Traveler and, you know, also played Lost Odyssey. And, like, after a while, eventually you drown out music. Like, it just becomes so passive to you that, like, it doesn't sit in your ears at all. Mm-hmm. But, like, this music is always kind of just very light and bombastic. And I'm like, but there's some real shit happening. Like, when you find out that, like, the mother that you've lived with your whole life isn't actually your mother. And, like, then you find out that, like, you're a royal from, like, from a ruined kingdom. Like, you would think there'd be, like, some, like, flat notes and some sadness in the music, but no, it's the happiest music. And I'm like, I wonder if my character doesn't know how to emotion at all. Because, like, this should be stuff that really tugs on him. So, like, case in point. I got to a point in my game where I go to the old ruins of my kingdom. And I find out that one of the party members who I've just kind of acquired is actually my grandfather. Spoilers for anyone who is playing and hasn't gotten that far. I'm sorry, but I have to talk about this.
Spoilers!
And,
here, I'll help you. Spoilers!
But you find out that somebody in your party is related to you, like, in a real way. And he's like, so, yeah, I'm your granddad, and, like, my daughter sacrificed herself for you, and when you're killed by monsters, your soul doesn't go back to the Tree of Life. So, as the royal bloodline, we are allowed, like, if we do this ritual, we can send lost souls that have been lost on our land back to Yggdrasil. So I want to send your parents' souls back there because they're trapped, like, their souls are trapped here in this land. So you do the side quest where you do this beautiful ritual, and, like, as you're doing it, all of a sudden these, like, pink butterflies start showing up, and you see them all flying towards Yggdrasil, and it's very beautiful. Weird tangent on that. So when I was watching the Ancient Magus Bride, which Ninja was very much like, you need to watch the show, but be ready for it. But then
did I steer you wrong?
No. But you also you did not fully tell me how much I had to prepare my heart and soul.
I mean, because then that would be giving it away, and that's, like, rude.
So, and I mean, like, there are a couple of episodes in that whole series that really got to me, but, like, they hit you in the gut real early in Ancient Magus Bride. So if you haven't watched it, like, be sure that you're in a really good mental place if you've ever experienced loss. That's all I'm going to say to you. Because during a particular episode, like, I was completely vulnerable, and I literally did that thing that happens in anime, is where something traumatic is happening and my husband's watching me and I am crying and I'm not aware that I'm crying. Like, I am so overcome with emotion that my whole body is numb to what I'm experiencing until I just explode in, like, this sad saccharine that was my depression. And, like, I literally had to stop
sad
watching.
Sad saccharine?
Yeah. Like, it was like the worst debuff of depression I think I'd ever felt in a while. Things like that don't usually resonate that quickly in me when I watch something. And, like, but it just felt way too close to home in a way that I was not prepared for it to be. And so this particular scene I'm talking about in Dragon Quest, while it didn't, like, leave me quiet in tears, like, I could feel myself, like, relating and resonating with it in that regard. And I was like, oh, it's starting to hurt. But it was beautiful. It was beautifully well done. But, like, it's those little moments where I'm like, oh, so much attention to detail was put here. And, like, you could tell that, like, they wanted to do proper justice to this type of ritual and this type of send-off and stuff like that. And it really was, like, touching in its own way. And, like, that's where I've kind of left off in my game, is this really big turning point of, you know, that twist. But I don't think that twist is big enough for the scale of this game for this to be the end of Act 1. I think Act 1 is really going to be when I have all of these magical orbs, which I kind of hinted at because Eric had one. And the last two people in your party have one, and there's, like, six of them, because, like, they're the color of the rainbow, and you kind of need all of them together to open the portal to Yggdrasil. And then when you get there, I guess more plot point will be revealed. So, like, in 50 hours, I'll finally be at the end of Act 1, and I'll know what's happening with that. So, but, the music really kind of throws me off for all these impactful moments, because, like, for something as touching as that, you would think it'd be, like, a quiet, soft, you know, no, like, nod to this realness. And no, it's this bombastically happy music that just, there's a dissonance there, and it completely takes you out of the moment. And, like, this game is way too big for them to have skipped out on the soundscape. Like, there is so much riding on your emotional resonance to what is happening to your character. Like, you want me to care, but you're, you know, not giving me a lot in terms of the atmosphere to immerse myself in that and to believe that. But, I mean, the combat system I actually dig quite a bit. It kind of reminds me of the sphere grid system from Final Fantasy X, which was my first venture into Final Fantasies, which I've talked about several times on in the course of the years of this show. And I really kind of dig that. I think, though, it's a little lacking in terms of what each note does. Like, in all the other ones, like, it was like, oh, MP up 5, like, resilience up 5, but this is just like, so you get percentages in this one, which I'm not, you know, math was never my strong suit. So it's like, ooh, 2% increase when I hold daggers. Well, fuck, my character doesn't have a dagger now, and I don't have the money for a dagger. Why the fuck you do this to me?
Why?
It's like, and I have to unlock that so I can get the specialty power, but then I have to go and grind to get money to get a dagger, which I then can customize and make more powerful, but I don't know how much more powerful because I don't know what my percentage is already to know if 2% is even worth it. I mean, granted, if it was a pizza and someone said, I'll put 2% more cheese, I'd be like, yeah, give me that cheese.
Right.
So, like there's no... but there's a context there. And right now I don't have that context. So I'm just like, I'm just plugging in nodes and hoping that my numbers go up. So, like, it's a little convoluted in that. But granted, I'm only about 27 hours in. So maybe once I start getting into the bigger levels, it will start making more sense and I'll be able to see that translated on the screen. But I mean, I think it's fairly easy to pick up. The story is, you know, I don't want to say generic because, I mean, granted, you know, the story of a chosen one rising up to fight a great evil. If that's not repetitive, I don't know what is.
Right.
But it's cute and it's lighthearted and it feels like there's a lot of love and passion in it. I could sit all day and play it. I would like to do that, but I have to share the TV. Like, this is totally something I think people who really like these types of games could go in, and if they could give themselves the limit of, hey, I'm only going to play for an hour and walk away from it, you wouldn't feel like, oh God, I am missing out. Like, you're always kind of coming back to the new page in your book, sort of like, oh, and now I'm back. Oh, and now I'm back. Like, that kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. Which I don't get often in RPGs. Like, generally, when I sit, I want to sit for 3 or 4 hours because I want to get through shit. But there's enough going on here for me to acclimate to and absorb them. Like, okay, this is cool. I don't need to rush through this. And granted, there's no rushing in an hour 20 long critical path game. So you might as well just be, like, super chill and, like, take your time and enjoy the journey. Respect the journey, I guess. Mm-hmm. But so far, so good. So, like, thumbs up.
Well, that's cool. I mean, it's not my wheelhouse.
No, it's not. But I actually think if you ever came over to me playing it, you'd be like, oh,
I would enjoy watching it. It sounds like, again, it would be a game that I enjoyed watching people play. Like, I haven't finished a Final Fantasy game in over a decade, but I enjoy watching people play
Final Fantasy. I almost finished Final Fantasy 15. If it hadn't been for that last freaking Royal Arms, that's a bitch to get. Because I'm a completionist and I won't stop until I get it, but I'm still not mentally ready to go back to that.
It's not enough. It's just not enough yet.
Not enough yet.
But for me, I enjoy RPG games. I enjoy watching other people's strategy as they navigate turn-based games. I personally don't enjoy playing turn-based video games. If I'm doing something turn-based, I prefer it to be an actual board game. That's just me. That being said, it does sound like it would be something that I would absolutely enjoy watching, and it does sound like it is actually a fun game to, like, go through, and it is quirky, and I like the quirkiness. So just a bit of news to wrap up with. I'm surprised that you didn't want to talk about the Nintendo Direct.
I haven't watched it.
That's why you don't want to talk about it, because if you had watched it,
I go to work, I do my job, I come home, I play Dragon Quest, and then I go to work. At 7. I never said you didn't go to work. I didn't say that.
Because it sounds like you're like, hey.
I ain't accusing you of what you do and what you don't do.
Like, I had this thing like a job and like responsibilities. Like,
I have a job of responsibilities.
And, you know, and bills so to I'm pay. Over here working and I can't just be paying attention to Nintendo Directs or reading them. First of all, I got a job too, bitch. I was at my job, doing my job, doing my responsibilities, being an adult, paying bills, ayy. But at the same time, I also, during my commute home, decided, let me read some shit so I know what's going on in the world. What?
Right.
Oh, dip. Because just because you don't watch it because it happened during work hours doesn't mean you can't read about it and then go watch it later. It's called Digital On Demand. Learn about it. Be about it. # stream it. Anyway, so I eventually watched the Nintendo Direct, and I gotta be honest with you, I don't often watch Nintendo Directs. I typically read about them afterwards and be like, eh, okay, most of those announcements don't really speak to my soul, so there's not nothing for me to be like super hype and I gotta talk about this with other people. Mm-hmm. Different with this Direct. So, number one, and the reason why I'm surprised, like, you haven't even, like, searched about it or, like, people aren't talking about it in your feeds to make you curious.
Well, no, I think people have been talking about it, but the only thing that I saw that was like, hey, people I'm with, news, was, like, I guess we're getting Final Fantasy Classics on the Nintendo Switch. Everything except for the game people want to play, which was 7.
No, you're getting 7. You're not getting 8.
Oh, 8. Wait, no. Oh, yeah, Squall. You're not getting Squall.
You're not getting Squall.
You're getting everything else but Squall.
Everything else is coming. So 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, obviously the early ones, all of them, all of those are coming to the Switch in 2019. No specific dates, but they're coming, and they're going to come at different times. So I don't think it's all going to be, like, dropped at once. So that's, like, the first piece of the Direct where I'm like, how I haven't gotten a text from Pandalicious yet, I don't know.
Because I didn't watch it.
Okay.
I was just like, okay.
That's number one. Number two, Luigi's Mansion 3 from the DS is getting a port to the Switch.
I didn't play Luigi's Mansion, though everyone tells me I would really love it, and I should.
Yeah, you would. And no, you did. You played the original Luigi's Mansion. You didn't play 2 or 3.
Well, I mean, well, 3's not out yet, so that's definitely why I didn't play 3. But I haven't played 2.
You played the original on the GameCube because we were going back and forth on it.
Okay.
So, because I would bring my GameCube when I came to visit.
And I remember, and then you finally gave me your GameCube, which I then exactly. played for like 3 months and then stopped playing it because I got a PlayStation 2.
Right.
But anyway.
You know, that's how the nostalgia works, right?
Yeah.
So I definitely am interested in Luigi's Mansion. I enjoyed that game probably more than I really should have. I'll be honest. I think
it's
I enjoyed
the most vacuuming you'll do.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I like Luigi's character. I like the character that they gave him in the game. And, you know, it's the first time that I really had, like, a just Luigi outing and not Mario going and doing something with Toad and Peach. Because it's like Mario's always doing something with Toad and Peach. And then every once in a while it's like, and I have a brother.
Mario's an asshole to Luigi.
Seriously.
Which is very classic to first player, second player gameplay.
Exactly. Older brother, younger brother. So, like...
Because in all of the non-canon games, whenever Luigi does something that Mario doesn't do, Mario's a dick about it. Mario's a dick. That should be the name of the episode, Mario's a dick.
Hashtag Mario is a dick. You know, there's a bunch of other stuff that they said. There's some classic Nintendo games that are going to be coming to the eShop that you can put on the Switch, but the big thing I need to get off my chest...
Get it, girl. Here's your soapbox. What is it?
New Animal Crossing game coming in 2019. You know, I don't know how I'm going to adult.
Because you love it so much?
Yes. You don't understand. So the addiction, my addiction to Animal Crossing is real. I have avoided putting the mobile game on my phone just to make sure that, like, I actually respond to text messages and phone calls when they come in. And if I have that on my phone, that won't happen. You know, much like many people got addicted to Pokemon Go, my addiction would be 10 times that to the Animal Crossing thing. So I just pretend like it doesn't exist for mobile.
Oh, okay.
My husband knows that typically whenever anything news related to Animal Crossing comes out, that we don't discuss it very much like most people won't say Voldemort's name. It is the title that will not be discussed in my home. Because my addiction was real. So I played Animal Crossing on the GameCube. When I say that I played Animal Crossing on the GameCube, I mean the game itself was very much a fast quest, you know, resource management, find and discover these things, and then outkit your home. It was a sim game, basically, but with cuter characters than your Sims. And not as much individual management of your character as in the sim games. But you can't call it Sim Lite either because there were just so many things going on. So you had to earn currency by finding items and trading them into different stores or trading them with different people to get different items. Sometimes those items would be furniture or materials for your home, so flooring or rugs or a chair or music or a music player. Sometimes those things would be items like shells or fossils that you could either donate to a museum that was in your town or sell in order to get bells and use bells to pay off your mortgage, because every time you expanded your house, you had a new mortgage, so you had to pay your mortgage down before you could expand your house again, and then you could fill and decorate it. So, like, the be-all, end-all was to have a three-story home that was all kitted out, that had a finished basement, had a finished first floor, and a finished second floor. You would get mail all the time and have to keep up your friendships and keep everybody in your town happy in order to keep them staying. And then because their happiness got so high, other people would want to move into your town. So your goal was to always keep enough people in your town that the town was prospering and everybody was happy. And so you had to decorate the town. And if there were weeds, you had to pull them. And you could sell fish for money. But different fish only appeared in different seasons and at different times. And initially when I played the game, I didn't even think of going in and manipulating what time it was, because it ran based off of when you started the game, what you set the date and time as. So the time of day would shift in real time. If it was noon, then it was noon in the game. If it was six, then it was six in the game, as far as what the console knew the time was. So initially, my first 3 months, as my husband will tell you, of playing Animal Crossing, I would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, at 3 o'clock in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, to go fishing in my town, because that's when
they're really... But you don't even like to go fishing in your real life.
I know, but this is what I'm saying. This is how real the addiction was. I would wake up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning to go fishing in my town to try and catch at least 15 of the high-dollar fish so that I could sell them the next day, so I could pay, make payments on my mortgage, upgrade my fishing gear, upgrade my digging gear, buy whoever needed whatever thing for them to stay friendly with me, that thing, so I could get more people to come into my town. It was ridiculous. Okay, and then it evolved on the Wii U when they came out with the Animal Crossing game that you could actually travel to other people's towns, because at the time you could only travel to places that were on the disc, and those were, you know, just short little train rides, you'd come back. Then if you had a 3DS, you'd get the Animal Crossing game, and you could actually have, not the 3DS, the Game Boy Advance, you could have an island town, which I did, so you could actually get on a boat and travel to the island town if you had the mobile handheld game. And then the mobile island had different fruit and different people and different sales things, and so if you could take the fruit from that town back to your town, you could sell it for even more money because it was uncommon in your town. So, like, I was traveling every day, raiding trees that were on that island, bringing them back on the boat and listening to the little guy sing his little shanty, taking them to sell them, putting additions on my house. Like, it was real. Like, I had themes, and, like, every quarter I would change the theme of my house. So, like, okay, so the basement's all storage. So I had, like, 20 lockers because I have 5 lockers on each wall, and each wall had different things. So, like, on one locker, I would just have clothes. One wall was just clothes, and so, because you could hold, like, only a certain amount of things in a locker. So, like, the first locker would be short shirts. The second locker was long sleeve shirts and hoodies. The third one was just shoes. The fourth and the fifth
one. You're not even that organized in your real life.
This is what I'm trying to explain to you, what my Animal Crossing addiction is, so that you understand.
Why can't you apply that addiction when they were like, into hey, your real life? You would like
we actually
you,
have
you live
a
in your
full,
best life.
I live my best,
best life
in
Animal Crossing.
In Animal Crossing and Sims, which is why I don't put Sims on anything, because if I put the Sims on something, that's it. I won't go to work. I will find reasons to call out of work so I could deal with my Sims.
Damn.
Okay. It's why I you know, only like every 3 years or so will put a Civ game or a Sims game on one of my devices to play, whether that's my computer or whether it's a console. Because when that happens,
you're not going to get me to play anything else because I'm about that life. Okay. Like, I'm very dedicated to my Civilization games. When I play Civ, I will be the first one to the technology. So there are times where I will, like, pick what country I'm going to be based off of whether or not they're going to have a technological boon advance, because technology is the key, and I understand that. Because without technology, you can't get a nuke, and until you get a nuke, you can't make everybody scared of you in Civ. So I have to be the first to a nuke. Not that I'm going to use it. I've never... No, let me not say that. I've rarely used the nuke, but I have to be the first to it, or it's just, it's not going to work. Okay, so it's why I don't talk about Civ a lot and why I don't put it on things a lot, because I'm addicted to that. Same thing with The Sims. Like, if I get a Sims game put on something, oh my God. I am all about, okay, what do I need to do so I can kit this place out so it looks cooler? What are the amenities that I need? Because it's all about getting in Sims games and Animal Crossing, making the houses and the pads what I wish my place was like, but it's not. So I'm on that grind. I am organized. Like, there can't be any roaches. There are no weeds in my town in Animal Crossing ever. Okay, my husband will tell you there was one time that, like, just because of, like, what was going on in my life and work and things like that, that I wasn't able to play an Animal Crossing game for a month, where I've been playing, like, diligently every day for at least two hours. Oh, God, hours.
How pissed did you get?
So it wasn't that I was pissed. I was pissed at myself because I remembered, hey, my town's going to be full of weeds when I come back. And sure enough, like, when I pop into the game, the fucking mole comes up and is like, hey, you haven't been here in, like, forever. So, like, what the fuck's going on? Your town's covered in weeds. Like, fix that shit. Your house is full of roaches. So I was like, oh, here we go. So sure enough, because I had abandoned the town, like, half my people left. So I just rolled up to where their houses used to be because they're gone. And there are notes about, you know, they're having to travel and find some things and wishing that our friendship was better. So, of course, then I feel like an asshole because I'm the one who fucked up the friendship. My town.
I can't. I spent, like, how the level of realness that you were talking about this game brings me back to a period of game addiction in my life where, like, WoW was everything.
Right, like, and that's, like, you were with WoW, I am to Animal Crossing.
Oh my gosh, like, I feel it. I feels it.
And
like,
so, there's a new Animal Crossing game coming in 2019. And my husband came, he's like, so, did you see the announcement that Nintendo made? And I literally looked him in the face and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Of course I didn't see an announcement about the thing that we're not going to talk about, because we're not going to talk about it because it's not a thing. And so he laughed and he was like, so you did see? And I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about, because there was nothing to see. It's not going to happen. It doesn't exist. Because if I acknowledge beyond this podcast that this game exists and it's happening and I want it, you are not going to get me to do anything else but play that game. And there's way too many other things that are happening in 2019. Like, Kingdom Hearts is out. I don't even know when in 2019 this thing is supposed to happen. Okay? I know when Kingdom Hearts is happening. And if Animal Crossing drops at the same time, I don't know that I'm playing Kingdom Hearts.
Oh. Well, you wouldn't have to. Because what would happen would be that I would get KH3, play the fuck out of that, and I would get that on disc because, you know, all my other ones have been on disc, so, like, I'm going to complete the trilogy disc.
Yeah, you got to.
And then I'll be able to give you that. Then you would have to get Animal Crossing on its little thingy, its little disky thing, its file thing, its game disc thing, and give that to me so then I could play that on my Switch. We could trade these. So then we're only each paying half and not having both.
So here's what I'm going to need to do. I'm going to need to stay away from the crack that is Animal Crossing. Because crack is whack. Whitney Houston told us that.
Yes, she did.
And she's not wrong. Crack is whack. And that is, like, my, like, Animal Crossing is, like, if you mix, like, kryptonite and crack together, that's what that would be for me. So I'm going to do my due diligence and try to stay away from it, but it's just too damn cute. And I just need KK Slider to, like, throw me some jams on a Saturday night, which I used to do. Again, before I figured out that I could just change the clock on the goddamn GameCube and make it whatever time I needed it to be. or make it whatever date in the future I needed it to be, because they're like, oh, these fruits only bloom at this time. Really? Okay, well then great. Even though today is actually March 3rd,
see, but you were you were playing it naturally, the genuine way that they wanted you to play this game.
Until I figured that out, and then I was like, fuck this shit. They weren't
expecting people to min-max it and, like, extort it to their
I perverted it. I didn't extort
it. Perverted it?
Oh, I had it, like, it was physically summertime in the real world. It was wintertime in my game because I needed certain people to come into my town so I could get their stuff, and I needed certain people to
who only showed up
like, in the winter. And like,
you a shady god. You a shady bitch god.
Yep.
You shady.
And it was funny because, like, at one point, so there's a character in the game called Mr. Rossetti that's designed to keep people from being assholes like I was. So, like, if something happened and you were trying to, like, be like, oh, no, I don't want that to be permanent, you could hit the reset on your game because the GameCube had a reset button, right? When you hit reset, when you went into the game, this mole would pop up called Mr. Rossetti, and he would basically call you out your name for what you did because he's like, hey, maybe your power went out, but maybe it didn't. I think you hit the reset button because you weren't happy with the decision, and that's not how this works. So here's what's going to happen. I have now put all these roaches in your house, and there are all these weeds, and you gotta go clean that shit up because people won't be happy until it's done. But if you do this again, I'm not gonna let you into your town for like a bunch of time. And if you do it again after that, I'm gonna reset your house.
Shit, no!
I was like, you can't take my shit, Mr. Rossetti. So like, literally, he was like, fuck it.
No, don't take my shit. No,
Repo Man. So like, anytime I would start the game, if I saw Rossetti, I was like, oh fuck.
He like the tax man. He like, hey.
Legit. Like, what? The repo man and the tax man all rolled into one. Acting like I got all my stuff from Rent-A-Center and I ain't paid everything off yet. Bitch, I bought those with bells. You can't repo my shit. So I get very, very real. Very, very basic.
Quickly, apparently.
Quickly with this game. Which is why I have avoided the mobile one, like, crack, and, like, it's really hard when people are, like, sharing the different amiibos that are out from the game for characters, and one of the characters in the game is actually coming to Smash Brothers. They mentioned that in the direct as well, and I'm just like, so all these things are happening around this universe, and I'm like, I keep having to tell myself, it's not real, it's not real, you can't have it, you can't have it, because I'm telling you right now, as much crap as I give you for leaving the club that we had bottle service at to go check your auctions in WoW when we were in Vegas.
You like your to first remember. Trip to
Vegas. As much as I give you shit about that, if I pick up this game that that's I've what been you'll talking be. About.
Well, that's why we ain't going to Vegas anytime soon. Granted, I would just be like, okay, bye.
I'll forget to shower.
I don't know if I would react. I don't think I would have reacted the way you reacted. Because, I mean, one, I was still very new to the drinking game back then as I was, you know, learning how to live with my surgery and stuff. But at the same time, I think if you had snuck Animal Crossing and didn't tell anybody that you had hid your shit in a bag and then were discovered the next morning playing it, that I think I'd be more mad about. But if you were like, guys, I'm not really feeling this bar, I'm just going to go home. Gonna go to the hotel, I'd be like, okay, well, maybe I'll go with you because, like, I'm done.
I got auctions to check.
You gotta pull some weeds. We both got real life shit to do,
right?
Let's go. Right. Hot mess, you right. Stay here with Esh Mom. Enjoy your right. Night.
So anyway, I was very impressed with the Nintendo Direct. While I am not, like, hyped personally about all the Final Fantasy games coming to Switch, I do think that there's a huge value in having every game except for 8 on the Switch because that allows a whole new group of people to be introduced to the Final Fantasy realm.
Yeah, but why not all of them? Why not just have all the games?
Because 8 sucked.
8 wasn't great. Okay? It wasn't. But, I mean, like, we're getting Chocobo Dungeons on the Switch. Like, come on.
Chocobos are adorable.
I'm not saying they're not, but it's like a treasure hunting game and you're a chocobo. Why not give us the full canon? Chocobo
Dungeons has a selling point. Their selling point is everybody who loves Final Fantasy loves chocobos. Chocobos are adorable. I can sell this game. There's value in that. What's the selling point for 8? Because don't nobody like Squall.
No.
I'll wait.
No, you're okay. There's the... No. no. There's the FMV of the dance, where he dances with Big Titty McGee. That's pretty nice. I mean, you don't need the full game for that. You could just watch the clip on YouTube.
Again, so where's the selling point for the game? I'll wait.
If you're a completionist, you want all of them. So you gotta take the shit with the gold, okay?
Right.
You can't just completionist. You can't just go and get all the gold coins. Because you get all the gold coins, that's great, but then there's a whole bunch of silver coins that you ain't getting. And then there's a shit ton of copper coins that you're also not getting. Like, you gotta get it all. It's like herpes. No, it's not like herpes.
wait. Final Fantasy VIII is like herpes. You heard it from Panda.
Final Fantasy VII is like the herpes of the Final Fantasy game.
Not 7, 8. It's 8 that's not coming. 7's coming.
8.
Yeah. It's 8.
But, yeah. So there's that. But I'm just Final saying, Fantasy if you're going to get, if you're like going to give Final us Fantasy 1 through 7 and then 9 through like 15, wait, no, actually, correction, I step back, because 8 is not the shittiest Final Fantasy.
I didn't say it was the shittiest Final Fantasy, I said that it sucked.
It's a sucky one, but it's not the most sucky. It's not
the shittiest.
Bitch, we are getting 10 and 10-2 for the Switch, and 10-2 sucked so much ass. And I say that as someone who played it and apologizes for it, because it is shit.
But it is the shittiest shit. Here's what I'll ask you about that, though. 10-2, absolutely shit game.
Yeah, because it negates everything that happens in 10.
Okay, now, with that being said, is it a shit game on the Switch? Because think of who the core audience that the Switch is aimed at. No, it won't
be shitty on the Switch for the audience that the Switch has been navigating towards right now. But I'm just saying, like,
it's still a shit game.
We could for real just do 1 through 10, because you're not going to do the online ones on a Switch, because that's just some bullshit. But you're just going to do 1 through 10,
and then do
12. Because 12 was a sleeper hit, and I feel bad that 12 didn't get the respect it needed. 12
is coming.
12 is a sleeper hit. Sometime in 2019. Gotta go back to 12. And then we do 13, and just 13, not 13-2, or the other one after that. Fuck those two. They can all, those, so 10-2, 13-2, and the one after that, Lightning Returns, can all die in fires. And then 15 can come, because 15's not bad. So, like, if you're gonna do the full set, I mean, I hate to say it, because I'm now just lying. You should just do the full set. You don't have to play them all, but if you're saying it's the full set and then you don't get the full set, I would be pissed.
Well, I mean, mostly I think 8 is not coming because of technical issues.
So, maybe.
I think licensing and some things that I'm just saying, a little bit too difficult to bring 8 to the Switch.
I'm just, okay, compared fine, to the other fine, ones.
But
fine.
That's happening. So a lot has gone on this week.
So, yeah.
New periffs, new tech, new games, more games, so many games. It's time for us to wrap up this podcast, but if you have any questions about any of the stuff that we've talked about, make sure that you hit us up on our social. You can get us at our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. You can get us on Instagram at ESHNews. You can get us at Twitter at ESH News. Hit us up with your questions, your comments, if there's something that you want us to check out and review for the podcast, or if there's just a question you have about any of the things that we talk about, or in general, you just want to say hi. We appreciate all those things. Like us, love us, subscribe, get notifications,
you can like
share.
And love us. You can dislike us sometimes, too, because, you know, we're family, and you don't always love your lover like your family. So, you know,
right.
There's that.
It too. Happens. But we fam, so we gonna be like that. So, you know.
Just be real with us, because we'll always be real with you.
Truth in what she said. Also, make sure that you check out our website, electricsisterhood.com. That's where you'll be able to find this podcast and listen to it directly on the website, as well as check out news and reviews that the entire content creation team at Esh is creating right there on our website. Everything from games and animated manga and more. So make sure that you check out our site, you bookmark it, share it with your friends, visit regularly, get our feed. If you want to get our articles in your newsreader, you can do that too. Feed's available right on the homepage, as well as links to get this podcast in iTunes, which you could do either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by just searching out the Eshcast and subscribing. You can also just search for Electric Sisterhood. Either way, you'll find us. You can find our stuff in Apple News as well. Like, we've got content all over this joint. You can get our podcast, like I said, on our site or on iTunes or through VogNetwork.com. It airs on Tuesday nights right before Anime Jam Session. You can also check out some other great shows on Vogue. They just came back from Dragon Con, so I highly suggest that you do check out the site and some of the great content happening over there. You can also get our podcast in Stitcher Radio, which just recently did an update. It's a lot easier to navigate. So if you're not living the iOS life, definitely make sure that you check out Stitcher Radio to get a hold of our podcast. And of course, you can get our podcast on Google Play as well. So any place that you want to listen to our podcast, you can get our podcast and listen to it. So just do it. No swoosh and or hashtag, because Nike, please don't sue us. But if you enjoy what we do here on Electric Sisterhood, on the Eshcast, then please make sure that you check out all the other great content creators that are part of our family. That includes our homie King Baby Duck over at b3crew.com with his bi-weekly podcast, No Borders, No Race, which is a great show where he spins new music from artists that maybe you've heard of but probably haven't but really should, as well as talks about anime, manga, video games, and more. So make sure that you bookmark his site, you check out his podcast, subscribe to it in iTunes, get new episodes as soon as they come out. You can also check out our homie HamsterMan2049. He's streaming live every Wednesday night, typically at 9 Eastern on Twitch. You can also check out his site, SmashRook.com, where he's got some great content on games, both retro and old, and streams both retro and new. That's what I meant to say. Not retro and old, but retro and new. Reviews on his site and games that he streams on his Twitch. So make sure that you check that out and you get the link on our Facebook page every Wednesday of what he's going to be playing and when he's going to be playing, and a link right to the stream so you can chat and be part of the experience live. And one of my favorite humans on the planet, Phil the Issues Guy with Phil's Recap and Review. Please make sure that you check out his YouTube page and subscribe. Hit the bell so you get notifications when new episodes come up. Phil makes some of the most enjoyable content that I have ever consumed on the web. And I'm not just saying that because he's a homie, but he is. And you can check out his archive on his site, issuesprogram.com. And finally, but definitely not at the least bit as important, the dudes over at nerdcrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave, whether it's comic book related or anime or manga or video game or TV show or movie or just superhero in general. If it's nerdy at all, the nerds over at nerdcrave.com are talking about it. So please make sure that you check out all of our sites, all of our content creation things that we're doing, whether it's on Patreon or it's on YouTube or Twitch or Mixer or on our site or Lord knows whatever other things are coming from the team. Please make sure that you give us a follow, you give us a like, you give us a share, you talk about us where you can, so we don't have to be the best kept secret on the internet anymore. With that, it's time to call this one done. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, folks.
Titties.